One day, an elderly gentleman was walking down a country lane with his dog and with his mule. Suddenly, a speeding truck careened around the corner, knocking the elderly man and his mule and his dog into the ditch that was on the side of the road. Well, the old man decided to sue the driver of the truck to recoup some of his damages, so they went to court. When they were at court, the old man was sitting on the stand, and the defense attorney said, "Now, I want to ask you a yes or no question. So just say yes or no to the following. Did you or did you not, at the time of the accident, say that you were perfectly fine?" The elderly man said, "Well, you see, me and my dog and mule were walking down the road." The defense attorney said, No. This is a yes or no question. Did you or did you not, just after the accident, say that you were perfectly fine?" And the gentleman said, "Well, as I said, me and my dog and my mule were walking down the road." No, the defense attorney said. And he turned to the judge and he said, "Your Honor," he said, "this man is not answering the question that I am asking him. Would you please insist that he answer this yes or no question?" And the judge said, "Well, obviously he wants to tell us something, so let's let him speak." So the elderly man said, "Well, as I said, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and this truck came around the corner and it knocked us into the ditch. Well, the driver stopped and he got out of his truck and he saw that my dog was badly injured. So he went back to his truck and he got his rifle and he shot it. Then he saw that my mule had broken his leg, so he shot the mule too. And then he looked at me and he said, 'How are you?' And I said, 'I'm perfectly fine.'" Well, how many times in your life have you felt like this elderly gentleman? You were trying to tell somebody something, but they just wouldn't listen. Or how many times in your life have you wanted to tell someone something, but they wouldn't listen, or there was no one there to listen to you? Maybe you remember a time when you really needed to talk to someone. You weren't looking for advice. What you needed was someone who would simply listen to you, just a sympathetic ear. Or maybe you remember a time in your life when you were hoping to say something to someone, just have someone sit down and listen to your problems without passing judgment on you or the situation. If we're honest, there are times in all of our lives and in the lives of everyone with whom we come in contact with every single week where we just need someone who is willing to listen. One of the things that fascinates me most about the story of Job in the Old Testament was, with all of the difficulties he was going through, what he wanted most was someone who would just listen to him. He wanted a sympathetic, empathetic ear for his situation. He knew that there was no human being who could change his situation. But what would be most helpful to him is if someone would simply listen. And like Job, all of us in our lives have times when we cry out to be listened to know that there's someone who cares enough about us that he or she will take the time to listen to what we have to say. We know that God is always listening, and that is a gift. But it's so nice when another person is willing to listen. This morning in our text, I read what James has to say, and there are so many things he has to talk about in this section, practical messages we've talked about before, what he says about anger and how important that is. But this morning, I want you to think with me about what I'm calling the ministry of listening. You see, I truly believe that listening to someone, truly hearing another person, is a gift. It is a ministry that we offer to another person. Listen to what James says. "Be quick to listen and slow to speak." What James reminds us is we don't have to have a degree in counseling. We don't have to have an advanced degree in communication to know how to listen to another person and to become better at the skill and the ministry of listening. So this morning, I want to invite you to think with me about how can we become better listeners? How might we offer the ministry of listening to other people in our lives? Well, let's start with this. One way is to encourage verbal sharing. Encourage another person to share with you what he or she is going through. Invite another person to open up and to talk with you. So often in our lives, we are so busy. We are always in a hurry. And maybe even when we pass somebody else, we will casually say, "Well, how are you doing?" And we expect the person simply to say, "I'm great. How are you?" And keep right on going, right? But what if the person actually stopped and said, "Well, you know, now that you ask, let me tell you what's going on in my life," right? What if we did that? Let me encourage you this week. Do an experiment. Invite someone to share with you what's really going on in their lives. Invite someone to talk with you about what's happening. And do so without your desire to offer advice. How often do we know of someone or hear someone when they will ask us a question, but they simply use that question then to share with us what's going on in their own lives without really listening to what we have said? James would say, that's not the ministry of listening. Stephen Covey is quoted as saying, "Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply." How true that is. Alfred Brendel reminds us the word listen contains the exact same letters as the word silent. The ministry of listening. You see, if you really want to offer the ministry of listening to someone, ask them an open-ended question, not a question that has a yes or no answer to it, and make it your goal not to offer advice, but to simply get to know the other person better. In fact, instead of saying what you want to say in response, try just rephrasing what the person said to you to make sure you understand what they've said. So often, when someone speaks to us, we are in the mode of thinking we jump quickly to advice. After we get just a little bit of information, we think we know all there is to know about it, and we quickly want to jump to offering advice or response or to share from ourselves for that person. But that's not the ministry of listening. The ministry of listening is where we learn that our shoulds and our oughts should be kept to ourselves. Listening is usually the opposite of judging, of blaming, and even giving advice. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. I read an interesting study recently. A survey was done with teenagers who had gotten into trouble and they had left home. And this group was interviewing teenagers in San Francisco who were homeless, who were living on the streets, and were asking them questions. But one of the questions they asked was this: is there anything you needed most that you couldn't get before you left home? Their response, invariably preceded by sadness and tears, was almost unanimous. What I needed most was someone to listen to me. Someone who cared enough to listen. Chuck Swindoll tells about an experience he had in his own life. He overscheduled himself, and his schedule got too complicated, and he was stressed out about it, and he was nervous and tense because he had too many things going on. And he says, quote, "I began snapping at my wife and our children. I was choking down food at mealtimes, just trying to get through, and I was feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions during the day. And before long, all of this started making its impact on our home life." And he says, "I distinctly remember one supper, one evening, after supper, the words of our youngest daughter, Colleen, that she said to me. She said, I want to tell you something that happened at school today, Daddy, but I'll tell you really fast. He said, realizing her frustration and realizing that this was because of the way he was acting, he said to her, honey, you can tell me and listen. You really don't have to tell me fast. Say it slowly. He said, I'll never forget what she said to me. Colleen looked at me and she said, then Daddy, listen slowly. How important. James says, be quick to listen. But when we listen, take our time with it. That's the ministry of listening that we offer another person. Well, another way that we're involved in the ministry of listening is to validate the other person who is talking with us. Validate the other person. Listen, this is so important. This is not political correctness. This is the ministry of listening. It's really letting the other person know that he or she is important to you. When you're listening to someone, validating them is letting them know by your gestures and by your words that you're hearing what they say and that what they say is important. When someone's sharing something with you, you can simply respond by saying, yes, that makes sense to me that you would feel this way. That simple statement demonstrates the acceptance of the other person. You are letting the other person know that they are heard. Yes, that makes sense that you would feel that way. For some of you this morning, I might stop and say to you, you know what? After the football game yesterday with South Carolina and Georgia, I feel terrible as a South Carolina fan. And you might say, yes, it makes sense that you feel that way, right? You could say it with compassion. You could say it with love and care, right? But you're validating the other person. Let me say it this way. You don't have to agree with the other person to validate his or her experience. You don't have to agree with what they're saying they feel. You don't have to agree with what they're thinking in order to let them know they are important. This is so true in our family relationships. When there's conflict in a marriage or in a family or between parents and children, you don't have to agree with each other in order to let each other know that you've heard them and that you care about them. Validating another person's feelings affirms their worth and their goodness. We know that by letting them hear and express and be listened to, they feel that they are important and what they're going through is normal and human and common. We don't have to agree to validate another person as they share their feelings and thoughts with us. Another way of practicing the ministry of listening is to empathize with the person. Share the joys that the other person experiences. Walk the path of pain that the other person describes to you. Often in our worship services before the pastoral prayer, we sometimes say, we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. That's what it means to empathize with another person. We share in the ministry of listening when we empathize with someone else. It's important to say here that we listen not only with our ears, but we listen also with our eyes and with our minds. Many communication studies will say that the majority of human communication happens nonverbally. In fact, most studies will say at least 90%, if not more, of human communication is not with words, but it is with body language, it is with gestures, it is with the tone in which we are speaking. We as humans share with each other in many ways that go far beyond our words. Several years ago, someone was in my office and was speaking to me about a concern with someone else, and this person seemed very agitated. He was standing up and his voice was very loud and he was pointing with his finger and he was talking about this other person and his posture was very defensive and his voice was raised. And I just happened to mention to him, I said, well, you seem angry. And he said, no, I'm not angry, right? But then after that, I said, well, your words don't seem to match what your body is saying and your gestures and tones. And I'll never forget standing over my desk, he pointed and said, I'm not angry, right? And I thought, I'm getting a real different message from you at the moment. Our messages are so often far beyond our words, and if we really want to be involved with the ministry of listening, we listen not only to words, but also to the emotions and the thoughts that are expressed through gestures and tones. We need to practice this ministry in all of our relationships. We need to practice this ministry in the church as we listen to one another. We practice this relationship or this ministry in our relationships in the family. We practice the ministry of listening in our marriages. We practice the ministry of listening with our children and with our parents. Not long ago, I was listening to a sermon from a prominent television preacher or evangelist, and he got on the subject in the sermon of parents talking to their children. And he quoted a study or a survey that he had found, and he said, according to this study, fathers in particular talk less than 1 minute per day to their children. Fathers talk less than a minute per day to their children, on average, he quoted. Now, I don't know if that's true, but what he said from that is, fathers, parents, talk to your children. You need to take the time to talk to your children. I would support that. But you know, this morning, I think there's a bigger problem. The bigger problem may not be how little we talk to our children. It may really be how little or ineffective we are at listening to our children. Maybe that's true in all of our family relationships. The biggest problem is not how little we talk to one another. It is how ineffective we are at listening to one another. James says, in your relationships, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Doug Larson, in thinking about that verse, listen to what he says. Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you'd have preferred to talk. Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have rather been talking. God's compassionate listening heart is clearly seen in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus could hear, and he so closely listened to what other people were saying, he could always respond appropriately. That's the ministry of listening. And the ministry of listening is by far the best way to express unselfish love for another person. When we offer that as a gift, we're saying to the person, you are important to me. Your ideas, your problems, your feelings, they are important to me. I care about you. Listening is the primary means of modeling God's love. Just as Jessica and the children talked this morning in the 8:30 service, in the children's sermon then, and we've heard it before, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a good reason. But there's one other thing we should always remember about that. God gave us mouths that close and ears that are always open. Always open, ready and willing to listen. This morning from James, we learn if you want to practice the ministry of listening, then the goal is very simple: to understand and express love for another person. To understand another person. And to express and share love and compassion and God's grace with the other person. Because sometimes the only thing another person needs is simply to be listened to. Simply to be understood and accepted. To have their feelings affirmed by someone who is willing to listen. And maybe this week, you can be that person for someone else. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, it is a gift that you've given to us to be able to listen. And this morning, we listen to your word. Your word, Lord, that challenges us in all of our relationships to focus on the needs of someone else instead of primarily focusing on our own needs. Lord, help us and give us strength and encouragement to be the listeners that you want us to be as we offer the ministry of listening to other people. So lead us and guide us and bless us in these efforts, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.